Morning, First Alliance Church.
Morning.
Good morning. My name is Michael Pollock. I'm the lead pastor of Visible Church. And and if you guys don't know, that's a church plant that First Alliance planted about 2 months ago. So we're 2 months in, we're going strong. We're going to have a Visible Church update at the end of the sermon, but I just wanted to come introduce myself. And I'm excited. I'm excited to be a part of this series, this Handle Messiah. And when Kirk first talked about it, I was like, what is Handle's Messiah? And I know I got a lot of, I was like, I just never heard of it before. And last night I had the honor of actually sitting and hearing the whole thing, the Handle Messiah, by the Toledo Choir. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing to sit in there and just hear the words of scripture being sung aloud and being able to sit and bask in that. So I'm coming at this sermon with a newfound passion for a treat of Handel's Messiah. And now I am part of the club, of Handel's Messiah Club. For sure. So again, our text comes out of Malachi, and the song we're going to be preaching about today and talking about is a song it's called, But Who May Abide? But Who May Abide the Day of His Coming? So I want to give a little background to that. I want to give a little backstory to that. But we have to start and ask this question, who was Malachi? Right? Who was this guy? And again, Malachi in the scriptures, he is known as a minor prophet. He was one of the 12 minor prophets. And now when we say minor, we don't mean minor role. We just mean his books was only a couple chapters long. So he was just as important as Elijah and Isaiah, just had a shorter book. And he lived 100 years after the Babylonian exile, right? So remember in the days of Jeremiah that he said, you guys are going to be going into exile and you guys are going to be there for 70 years. So they go, Babylon takes them over. They're in exile. They're longing to go back to the promised land. 7 years later, they get there. When they leave the promised land, they have high hopes, right? They say, okay, we've just left the promised land. We believe that all the promises that the prophets prophesied is going to come true, and the Messiah is going to come. He's going to rule and reign, and there's going to be justice and peace for all. So they left the promised land with that hope, saying it's going to happen now, and as we saw, that did not happen. Right? You read the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, that was all this turmoil and strife, and it really proved that the Israelites was just as unfaithful as their ancestors were. So this book is set up, again, 100 years later, it's set up like this. God will make a claim. He makes a claim about something, and then the Israelites will disagree or question. It seems to be flippantly as well. Like they had no fear, the fear of God has left them. And they refute God, and then God comes with a response. We see this play out in this book 6 times. Where God will make a statement, Israelites will disagree, and then God will respond to that. So here's an example. In chapter 1, God says, you know, I've loved you, right? I still love you, even though you guys are not doing what I called you to do. And they say, how? How have you loved us, God? So he's like, guys, I chose your family. I chose you, right? Jacob and Esau, 2 brothers, 2 nations. Do you know where Edom's descendants are now? They are gone. And you are only here because of my hand, because of my love for you. So again, that's one of the conversations I have back and forth with God. And then we go into chapter 2, verse 17, and they accuse God of neglect. They say, God, you are neglecting us as a nation. Here's what they say. They say, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or, where is the God of justice? Right? And 100 years later, after the exile, there's corruption, there's greed, there's injustice, and it seems like God is doing nothing. It seems like God is silent. And that is what we pick up in chapter Malachi chapter 3. And this is the response to people accusing God of being silent in the midst of evil. Right? Have you ever heard that before? People said, hey, if your God is so good, why is this happening in the world? If your God is so good, why can't he just come and squash all this evil? Right? We hear that even today. And this is how we respond as a church. This is how God responded to them in Malachi chapter 3. But before we do that, let's pray together. Father, I'm so thankful to be here, to be back home with my church here at First Alliance. Thank you for the privilege of me preaching. I pray that as we reflect on the Advent season, that it's not just a baby in the manger, but it is the God who is going to come back and judge the world, a good, good God. So, Father, I pray that this message, it hits a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone, and that we take this moment to reflect on your Advent. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go right into it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. This is the response. Here's what God said to them. He said, I will send my messenger who will prepare a way for me. Then suddenly the Lord who you are seeking will come into his temple. The messenger of the covenant who you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Right? That's a lot of messengers and covenants. So let's break that down. Here's the first one. He said, I will send my messenger who will prepare a way for me. Right? In the ancient royal procession, a messenger, they will come before a king and they will announce his coming. Right? They will indicate his route, and if there's any like rocks or anything in the path, they will go and clear it out. So that was the job of the messenger. And God said, I will send my messenger before me. And here's the thing about the book of Malachi. After this book closes the Old Testament, and God is silent for 400 years after he says this word. God was still in the midst, but he didn't raise up a prophet in that time. Then 400 years later, there's this wild man in the desert, and he seems to be fulfilling the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Let's read it together. It says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. This man's name was John the Baptist. He was coming to prepare the way for the Lord. And what was John the Baptist? What was his message? We see it here in Matthew chapter 2. It says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. That's the kingdom's coming, right? And here's what he was doing, his ministry. People, verse 5, people went out to him in Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Right? He was preparing the way. He was preparing people's hearts. Hey, repent, repent, because when the next guy comes, he's going to come, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Going back to Malachi, this is the messenger. Malachi 1, continue on. Then suddenly the Lord who you are seeking will come into his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. And I think God is saying here, be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you're asking for. We see these phrases of who you are seeking and whom you desire. I'm pretty sure he was being sarcastic here, right? You guys say you want righteousness to come, you want judgment to come, and here's what happens when we ask for the world to be judged. Asking God to judge, meaning asking to be judged, right? If you want God to get rid of evil, he has to get rid of you too. And he will. He will make all things right in this time. But be careful what you're wishing for. And in studying this verse, we see that the Lord here plainly is telling us that he is going to come. Right? It says the Lord who you were seeking will come into his temple. He, the Lord, is the messenger of the covenant. So when people say, when did the Lord say he was going to actually come to earth? When did he say that? He says it right here. He says, my messengers are going to come, and then I will come and fill my temple. The Lord is going to come. And when he comes, And again, this is really, he seems like he's speaking about the second coming, not the first coming, right? Because let's go to verse 2. Here's what it says. It says, but who can endure the day of his coming, right? And here's where we get the song from. Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap, right? This is the second coming of the Messiah. And when I was studying this week, God reminded me of a passage in Revelation chapter 5. And here's what's going on in Revelation chapter 5. God is holding the scroll in his right hand. And on the scroll, is inside the scroll, there are seven seals on the scroll. And the angel, and we think it's the angel Gabriel. We don't know, but we think it's him based on some scriptures in Daniel. And he says, who is worthy to open the scroll? Who is worthy? Who's worthy to open the scroll? And what he's saying is, who is worthy to pronounce the judgment of God on wickedness and sin? Who is worthy to do that? Right? The word, the Greek word for the word worthy is axios. Axios, and this means being morally or legally entitled to. Right? Remember what John the Baptist says? I'm not worthy to hold his sandals. This is, I'm not even legally or I'm not morally entitled to, this is who this guy is. Axios. Revelation 5, verse 3. Here's the response. But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scrolls or even look inside of it. I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside it. And this is the Apostle John writing. And he says, then one of the elders, one of the 24 elders around the throne said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphant. He is able to open the scroll and his seven seals. He is worthy. And here's what he's going to do when he opens those seals. Malachi 2, for he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. The Lord's holiness and his judgment will be like a refiner's blazing fire and a fuller's bleaching agent. Right? We got a great picture here. A refiner is a fire, right? Here's what happens when they heat up metal or gold. To get pure gold, you have to heat it up. And when you heat it up, the impurities raise to the top. And the refiner, what he does is he just skims the dross off the top and he throws that away. And God is making us into 24 karat gold, right? 100% pure, 100%. So that's the difference between 14 karat, 18 karat, you know, 22 karat gold is how much of real gold is in there. Where is the impurity? And God says, I'm going to purify 100%. Or 99.99, whatever the 10K gold is, right? That's what he's going to do. That talks about the judgment here. And that fire is talking about judgment day. And the Father has given the Son the authority to judge. John 5. For the Father judges no one, but he has given all judgment to the Son. He will judge. Right, the second image we hear is this launderer soap, right? And this soap was an effective agent of producing white clothing. And I want you to think about bleach, right? And I remember growing up, I was afraid of bleach because it was like, be careful not to put your clothes with those clothes who get bleached because it's going to get messed up. And I would always have shirts with like little bleach stains on them. And I was like, you know, and I would always get annoyed by it. So I became afraid of bleach, but it is powerful, right? The bleach, what it does is trying to make everything pure. It's trying to bring everything back to its pure state, and that's what God is going to do. And it reminds me of when Jesus took his inner circle to see him transformed on a mountain. Peter, James, and John, let's read that together. Mark 9, verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, again, his inner three, and he led them up to the mountain by themselves. And then he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. That's what they said. It was so, you can't ever bleach this white. That's how pure he was. And that's what he's going to do when he comes back during the second coming. God is not, he's not away. He's not far away. He is coming soon. The refiner's fire and the larger serp indicate the holiness and the burning judgment of the Messiah when he returns and reigns in Jerusalem at his second coming. In church, our question today is, will we be a part of this, the faithful remnant? Will you be part of the faithful remnant? As we celebrate Advent and remember the coming of Christ, I also want to remind you that he is coming back. And all that will be left is the faithful remnant. That's how the book of Malachi closes. It doesn't close with just fire and judgment, but it says, hey, there are those who are faithful to me. Here's what it says. Let's read it together. Malachi 3, starting in verse 17. It says this, on the day I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the ones who serve God and those who do not. Right? The New Testament calls these the sheep and the goats. There's going to be a distinction of these two people at the end. Surely the day is coming and it will burn like a furnace, going into chapter 4. All the arrogant of evildoers will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in his rays, and you'll go out and frolic like well-fed calves. I want to frolic like a well-fed calf. Sounds fun. Then you will trample on the wicked, and they will be ashes under your soles, your feet, on the day when I act, says the Lord. The Lord's coming. He is coming. Right? And those who remain are going to be those who confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, and those who believe that he was raised from the dead. That's what the scripture said. If you believe that he raised, confess your mouth that he's Lord, and you believe that he raised from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. And I have good news, church, because today is the day of salvation. Yes. Don't delay. Don't delay in doing the right thing. Don't delay in coming to God. Because we're gonna all come to and see and ask the question, who may abide the day of his coming.
Stand when he abide. The day of his coming. And who shall stand? And who shall stand when he